Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Ladies and gentlemen, every October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And if you have had breast cancer, if it's something that's been part of your life, probably every day or every month certainly is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But this is the month that the folks who are in charge of these things say we should really spend a little extra time talking about it. And as you know, many of you know, we've been doing this now for a few years. And there are three ladies who are very important in my life, very good friends of mine, who are breast cancer survivors and who are members of my brain trust. And I'll remind some of you that my experience with this, besides my friends, is that the mother of my children is a 23-year survivor of breast cancer. And I was with her when all that was going on. So I have a little bit of background in this, but it's something that's very important to me that we know more about this. And by the way, folks, in case you didn't know, in 2006, over 212,000 new cases of invasive breast cancer will be diagnosed among women, and more than 40,000 women will die of breast cancer. Now, in case you'd like to know what those numbers compare to, that's approximately the same number of people who die in car wrecks every year. Let me introduce these ladies to you. You know all three of them. They're longtime members of our Brain Trust. And I'm going to introduce them to you in the order of their term of survival of breast cancer. The longest is Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Hello there. I have to apologize. I have a little cold.
Well, you sound just fine. That's Joan Pride, folks, and you all know her very well. In fact, she'll be back on the show tomorrow to do the Kiplinger letter with me. And then Paula Lovell is the president. She's a small business owner. She's the president of Lovell Communications, which is a PR firm in Nashville, Tennessee. And of the three, she's in the middle in terms of breast cancer survivability. Paula, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And the lady who is the youngest in terms of breast cancer survival is our good friend Lois Geller, one of the sweetest souls on the face of the planet and the owner of an outstanding marketing firm. She's a small business owner, too, in Fort Lauderdale. Lois Geller, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim. This is my 1-year anniversary date of being finished with my treatment, so I'm glad to be here.
When is the 1 year?
It's today, actually.
Today is your 1 year.
Congratulations!
That's exciting.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, ladies, and folks, I'm going to let the ladies talk among themselves quite a bit during this interview, and because I really want them to share their ideas, but the survivability rate is going up every year, isn't it, Joan?
Well, yes, but the key thing is catching it early, and I hope people won't behave the way I did. I didn't believe I could have breast cancer when I found the lump, and it was only because my husband, the pest that he is, pestered me into getting it checked that I'm here today. I was 40 when I was diagnosed, and I kept thinking, I'm too young to have breast cancer. Well, unfortunately, that's not true, and I don't want to scare anybody, but I think people have to have all the information.
And I didn't have a lump, and mine was discovered with a mammogram. Never would have believed I had cancer, couldn't feel a thing, and it was, ready to go. So I also encourage people not only, to do the self-exams that Joan may have been referring to when she found the lump, but be sure you get a mammogram once a year if you're over the age of 40.
Lois, how did you discover yours?
Well, I was in the land of denial. My mother had breast cancer, and even though I knew that there was a propensity or a risk factor connected with it, I didn't think I would ever get it. So being in denial, I went for my annual mammography, and when they told me I did, I said, no, you're wrong. I'll find another doctor. You know, and so I denied it for a long time, and I went to back to New York because I just recently moved to Florida when this happened. And it was, and when you have a mother, and my sister died of melanoma, and you have people in your family with cancer, whether it's breast cancer or another kind, it's something that really should be a red flag for you that you have to check up on this all the time, more frequently even than other people.
Well, one in eight, the statistics show, ladies, that one in eight women will have breast cancer sometime in their life.
You know, I look around my small business. I have 12 women, and I think, gosh, you know, statistically about one and a half of us are problems.
That's exactly right. Ladies, stand by, folks. Joan Pryde, Lois Geller, and Paula Lovell are our guests, and we're recognizing the Breast Cancer Awareness Month and celebrating survival. Right. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're commemorating Breast Cancer Awareness Month on the show during this half hour, and visiting with three of our good friends who are all three breast cancer survivors. Joan, how long has it been? About 6 years now, 5 years for you?
In my sixth anniversary of my diagnosis was in September.
And Paula, what is it, about 3 years?
My fourth year in September.
Wow.
Fourth year in September and 1 year for Lois. And Lois, your mother, Regina, passed away last month at the age of 96. Is that right?
Yes.
And I had a fortune to meet her. I'm so glad I got to. And Lois, I'd like to dedicate the rest of this show, this whole show today, in her honor and to celebrate her life, Regina, to celebrate her life.
Thank you, Tim. Here, here. She was a breast cancer survivor, too.
Yep. And you know, I really like telling these stories, ladies. I like other ladies to hear about my experience with the mother of my children and your mother, Lois, and Joan. Now you're coming up, you know, you've got 6 years behind you. I like telling those kinds of stories because, Lois, that's got to make you feel better.
Well, it makes me feel hopeful. But I'll never be assured as I was before. I think when you own a business and you run a busy life, you tend to feel like you're in charge. And breast cancer doesn't have any symptoms or anything. So you're feeling absolutely perfect. In fact, I was on my way to a speech when I went for my mammography. And so it's a humbling experience. And I don't think you ever feel quite the same afterwards.
That's so true. It makes you feel very vulnerable.
Yes.
But I will say that I think it was the worst thing and the best thing that has happened to me because of the way I have looked at my life and scrutinized the things that I do since breast cancer.
Why do you say that, Paula?
Well, you know, it knocks you on your can, as Lois said, and it is humbling. And you're running a small business. You are afraid. But then you realize that you are not in control, number one, and you let go a little, so you stop running around, you know, in fear all the time. And more importantly, spiritually for me, it forced me to have a time of reflection and inner study, so to speak. And then I had a very spiritual moment during breast cancer when I had a seizure and thought I was going to die, and it was really because of the medicine. And I had at that moment pray that I would let go, and I did let go, and I felt this incredible warmth and healing coming over me, and it really was a turning point in my life. You asked me off air about my son, who's 22 and finishing up in college, and I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but he had thought about getting out of town, but, you know, like all young people do, and we are so family-oriented. He's an only child, and I raised him as a single mom for the last 22 or 21 years, and he's going to stay in Nashville. And, you know, I said, don't do it for me. Get out and go in the world. But he said, you know what? I've made up my mind. I just love being around family, and we're a small family. I'm sticking here. So it impacts the entire family is what I'm saying.
Joan?
Well, what I was just thinking listening to these wonderful ladies is that there could be someone out there newly diagnosed who thinks that their life has been ruined, and maybe they think they're going to die and that they can't go on. But I think, you know, we do go on, and God willing, and we do survive. And it, as the years go by, you realize that it was a blessing in some senses. I know anyone who has not had breast cancer would think we were crazy talking this way. But it really does make you appreciate life and reorder your priorities. And in that sense, we've all been given a kind of a gift.
Well, absolutely. And I'll tell you, one of the things that's the biggest enemy, though, I think, and it's this way for women with breast cancer, and it's this way for men with prostate, with their getting their prostate checked, and that is this denial thing, this refusal to take care of business, to make sure that if something is happening, that you know about it as early as possible. That's the biggest enemy, isn't it, Lois?
It really is. And the funny thing, you know, when there used to be breast cancer, when October would come around and a lot of the boards that I'm on would say, you know, we're going to do something for breast cancer, I would shy away from doing it. I didn't want to learn about it. It wasn't going to involve me at all because, you know, I was frightened of it. And when it happened to me, it turned out to be the best blessing. Not only the way Joan put it is that, you know, because our whole life changed, but we appreciate so much more. Every day is such a great gift. And also the fact that it felt like it was going to be the loneliest of times for me because I was in a new place all by myself. My mother was very ill here. All my friends were in New York. And then people like Joan Pry, people that didn't know me, started calling me on the phone and telling me their stories. And I think, as far as a time in my life, I was the most connected to other people, and I was my best person, my best self during that time. And I think I'm really working hard to sustain that, you know, to give every week, to call somebody, to do those things that made me feel better about myself.
Lois, how long was your mother a survivor?
My mother got breast cancer when she was 70.
And so she was 26 year survivor.
26 years, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And that's something. Ladies, stand by. We're going to take a quick back. I'd like for the ladies to tell us a little bit about the treatment that they went through and the process they went through, and then we'll wrap it up. Awareness Month, ladies and gentlemen, with three ladies, very strong, courageous ladies, and great examples for all of us. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassigame, the Small Business Advocate. Ladies can put on their red dresses and go out tonight because they're breast cancer survivors. And, one of the things I wanted to do, we were talking about Breast Cancer Awareness Month, ladies and gentlemen, with Joan Pride and Lois Geller and Paula Lovell. And, by the way, Joan's with the Kiplinger Editors, folks, and you know who she is. And that's Kiplinger.com. Paula Lovell's website is Lovell with two L's.com on the end. And Lois Geller's website is MasonGeller.com. You know, ladies, from the guy standpoint, the men in the lives of women breast cancer survivors and those who have just been diagnosed, I want you to know that when it happened to me as the husband of a woman diagnosed with breast cancer, I felt like I'd been... For me, I just felt like I'd been kicked in the stomach.
Jim, and I got a great guy story.
I remember blinking my eyes and thinking, you know, wake up, wake up. And I'd go to sleep, and I'd wake up in the morning and I'd say, wow, that was a horrible nightmare.
Yeah, and I'm sure husbands feel that way.
But yet it wasn't. And I don't want to trivialize what you guys are going through. I just want you to know that the guys feel it as heavy as we can. It hits us.
Jim, I want to tell my great guy story. My son had just gone off to college, and I didn't want to tell him at first because I was afraid he wouldn't go. He was leaving, going to Missouri, and so I called him after the first two surgeries, and I told him I was going into chemotherapy, and of course he was upset, and I called him about 10 days later, and I said, oh, God, and I'm losing my beautiful hair, and he said, oh, Mama, don't worry about the hair, and so the next weekend I picked him up for his first time home, and it was freezing cold in Missouri, and he gets in the car, and gives me a hug, and he pulls off his ski cap, and he had shaved his head the night before.
That's
Joan,
wonderful. Isn't that wonderful?
Tell them what Ray did.
Well, when I lost my hair from chemotherapy, Ray also shaved his head, but he was so funny because he insisted on keeping it shaved until I started growing mine back, and I kept saying to him, you know, someday you're going to be bald, and I'll have to look at you bald. So, you know, bring your hair back now. I don't mind, you know. But it really, and I'm sure, Lois, you felt the same way. Having an important man in your life do that makes you feel less unattractive and makes you feel like the baldness isn't so bad. Because, and people who haven't had breast cancer may not understand it, but, you know, you're going through all this other stuff, and the last thing you need is to be bald, believe me.
Joan, give us your treatment story, please.
Oh, well, I had a lumpectomy, and then I had 6 months worth of chemo, and then 6 weeks worth of radiation.
All right, and Paula?
I had a lumpectomy, and then I had to have lymph node removal. And then I had the 6 months of chemo, and I think mine was 8 weeks of radiation.
Yeah, Lois?
I had a lumpectomy, and I had radiation. I didn't have chemo. But I have a funny story about mine. I'm not married, but I have a bunch of employees, all male, my senior employees, and they had a hard time with my breast cancer. And for the most part, they they never said the word. You know, they avoided it. In fact, the days that you know, I had to go every day for 8 weeks. And I would go, and I would come back to the office, and they ignored me because they, you know, they didn't want to talk about it, or they wanted to go away, or maybe they thought I was going to die, and there went the company.
You know,
so it wasn't until I sort
time.
Of sat them down and mm-hmm. talked about it that I think we sort of had an open dialogue, but that was interesting.
Go ahead, Paula.
I was saying I had all women, and it was really the same thing. And we work a lot in healthcare, so saying the words breast cancer is, you know, every day we're talking about it because we work with so many healthcare clients. But I noticed during radiation, not so much during chemo because I would miss a few days and they'd say, how are you feeling? But during radiation, I'd get up at the crack of dawn and go in, and people would, it wasn't that they were avoiding me, but they just didn't want to ask. So,
oh, yes.
I think it's more, it's for men and women, and of course people who work with you, I mean, we all love each other. I know that they, at some level, love me, and so just the fear and the concern keeps them from talking, too.
Let me stop you, ladies. I got to wrap it up, but I want each one of you to give us 10 seconds. Joan, speak to ladies out there, 10 seconds.
Don't be in denial. We're all here for you, fellow survivors, and, you know, please use us and talk to us and get checked.
And Paula?
Well, I would say the same, and I'll use my seconds to say, if you're a small business owner, do something to acknowledge Breast Cancer Awareness Month every year.
Well said. Lois?
I think all women should read books and articles about it, even if it's not even part of their lives, so they can help and support other people, their friends and office friendships and stuff like that. Know about it first.
Thank you, ladies, all for all you do for everybody, and I'm so glad to know you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.